Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everybody, this is Mark Lindheimer, and you're listening to Aging is Optional Radio. Here's the real mystery. How do adults like us, who maybe haven't taken the best care of ourselves throughout the years, but want to live long and healthy lives, how do we make changes to our lifestyle that will have a direct impact on our longevity so we can participate and enjoy our lives for much longer than we ever imagined? That's the burning question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Mark Lindheimer, and welcome to Aging is Optional Radio. Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome my great friend Tim Darnell to Aging is Optional Radio. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, how are you, Mark?
I'm doing great, man. We've known each other since about 2011, by my count, and we've really become good friends over the years. Since I moved from California to Texas, we've actually become neighbors, and you know, we get to sit together in church most Sundays, which is really, really amazing. I wanted to kind of preface this by telling a little bit about you, but I know you get to tell your story here. You've been married to your beautiful wife, Kathy, for 34 years, and you have 3 grown children. You're a successful entrepreneur, author, singer, songwriter, and musician, which is really impressive. And you have a deep faith that guides your life. And in fact, your Facebook profile says faith, family, and fitness, which I think is really cool, keeping it simple. We're here really to talk about faith. And, you know, so welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here and excited to be here as well.
Well, I love it. I love it. I'm always intrigued by, you know, people who have created personal brands, either through effort or organically just created a brand just because they are who they are. And I'm interested in, you know, the journey that they travel as they get to where they are today. And, you know, so what I'd like to do is take a step back and ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you live, you know, some of the things that brought you here to today.
Well, you bet. I would love to do that. And it's interesting, my story, that's for sure. My dad is a Christian minister, Disciples of Christ minister. And so I grew up in that household. I was always at church, and I am so thankful for that. My mother was the keyboard player at church and led many of the choirs and quite a singer herself. And I'll never forget, Dad was doing a wedding one time, and it was Dad and Mom in the church, and it was just a couple. It was no attendees at all, I don't think. Maybe 2 or 3, something like that. But they said, we really need somebody to sing special music at the church. And I was probably 12 or 13. And I looked around and went, who are you talking about? And sure enough, they were talking about me. And they put me up on the lectern there, I guess you call it. And I sang. My knees were shaking like crazy. My teeth were chattering. And I was nervous and I was scared to death. And then they asked me to do several more. And after a while, it got a little comfortable, actually. And I sort of got used to it. And I figured out what I did wrong the first time and how I could do that better. And but I was always entrepreneurial. I remember as a young kid loving to sell. I really enjoyed selling. And back in those days, the 50s and early 60s, you could get comic books and you could sign up to sell greeting cards. or Christmas cards or any kind of cards like that door to door. And I just love doing that. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And I love making sales. I think I sold seeds, if I remember correctly. I don't remember what all, but it was, I just loved the interaction. And I'm sure the neighbors felt sorry for the little kid going around the neighborhood. But that was back when you could knock on somebody's door and not get shot. So a little bit more friendly atmosphere back then.
That's amazing. So, where'd you grow up?
A lot of fun. And I've always, if Fayetteville, North Carolina, next to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and I was actually born in Cisco, Texas. And a woman asked me this yesterday. She said, "Where were you born?" I said, "Cisco, Texas." And she said, "I've never heard of that." I said, "Well, you've heard of the Cisco Kid, haven't you?" And that's me. So anyway, it's just a funny lifelong joke. But anyway, Fayetteville's great. It's a military town. And we had, Dad was minister of the church there, and I grew up singing in the choir and faithfully attending church and youth groups and Sunday school all my life. And that faith was rooted in me then, and also through church camps. And I really got convicted at several church camps over the summer, where you just really, everything's goes away and you commune with nature and you study God's word, you're in prayer and you fall in love with your other campmates, the boys and girls that are in your group. And it was just great experiences. And I first met Jesus was in a camp called Camp Caroline in Arapahoe, North Carolina, sort of near New Bern, North Carolina. And they're getting pummeled right now by the hurricane. But, anyway, just beautiful surroundings, and I'll never forget those days. They're very impactful for me, Mark.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, it's amazing to find and have that experience at such a young age. What made you decide to have your faith guide your life? What was it that, you know, about that experience that brought you to this path?
Yeah, well, one of my camps we went to, we had what was called Vesper services, and you had screened in bungalows. So you're right there in nature. And we had a wonderful worship service, prayer time. And I remember my dad asking who in this group is going to commit their life to Christ. And I was the first one. I raised my hand. I said, "I'm going to do it." And then we had a quiet time where we went out into the woods by ourselves. And I went out there and I got on my knees and I prayed to Jesus. I said, "I want you to come in my life and I want to meet you." And boy, I tell you, I hadn't uttered those words or that thought prayer, whatever it was, before. I had seriously an incredible encounter with Jesus Christ. And you just can't take that away from somebody when that happens. It was a very humbling, very emotional experience. I remember not even having leg muscles to be able to stand. It was on my knees, prostrate on the ground, and the most incredible feeling of love that I've ever experienced in my life. And so, you know, you can't, people have intellectual debates about whether Jesus is real. I don't have those debates. I, you know, that's my life. And that has been the greatest thing in my life, growing up and then my adolescence and then my 20s, college and early 20s and that kind of thing. But, the music thing stuck with me really early on. My aunt gave me a snare drum one time, I think for Christmas, and I was so excited about it. It was gold sparkle, and it just looked great, and it was loud, man, my poor parents. But I didn't have any cymbals, so I found a bacon stretcher in my kitchen paraphernalia that my mother had, and that was my cymbal. And I eventually mowed lawns and cleaned the church for enough money to get a full set. And then it got crazy because we started playing at the clubs out in Fort Bragg. And I forget what they call those clubs, but anyway, I learned music, man. I just went out there and did it. And it was always my band. I'd always put it together. I was the one that, it cajoled the other musicians to come in and jam together. And eventually, boy, those first performances must have been awful. I mean, we didn't have enough songs. We had to repeat them over and over again. But you don't know what you don't know. I mean, we know four or five songs. Let's go play it. Yeah. You know? So now I'll do a long drum solo just to fill in the time.
That
it
is,
got a little more professional,
works, right?
Yeah, it got a little more professional as time went on, and now I understand the severe importance of rehearsal, and just doing it till you can do it in your sleep. And if you're in a group, you need to do that with that group, and just learn each other's techniques, whatever they're playing, if it's an instrument or if they're singing or whatever, singing together and how important that is. But just a great youth, and that led to a career. And I traveled for like 35 years on the road professionally. So, and I've got a rehearsal coming up tonight. We've got more going on here.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Let's go back to that experience at the church camp. How old were you then?
13 years old. Yeah, and one interesting thing about that, what led up to that, was camp counselors that really we had truth sessions during the day. And it was the kind of thing where I had never encountered anything like it. But most of us put on faces, as not just youth, but adults as well, and facades. And we have our weaknesses that we never bring out, we never talk about, and we may not even notice them ourselves until somebody brings that out. And it's sort of a group therapy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was popular back then in the 60s to be able to do that. But it was very good. It was so emotional. Everybody was, it broke people down and got rid of our facades. And I still remember this at 13 years old, you know, several years ago, but now all of a sudden you're dealing with a real person and you're able to deal with Jesus when you don't have the facades. If you still have the facades and you're hiding behind those things, truth and reality, which is what Jesus is all about, and purity coming into your life, you don't deal with those things until that's broken down. So those counselors, Grant and Susan, I'll never forget their names. They were fantastic with us. They were loving, but they were also hard on us. If we were holding something back, they could tell it. And they drew that out of us. And some of us were affected even more so than others because they didn't realize that they'd been hiding behind those masks and hiding behind fears and inadequacies, feelings of inadequacy and that kind of thing. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so those are real important. That's John 14:6. That's a real important phrase to understand. If you don't have Jesus, your conception of truth is probably going to be really skewed. And so it's real important, I think, in my life, and far as my relating with other people, including you, Mark, is that we get real with each other. We don't hide stuff, and we search for truth. We seek for truth all the time. And we do that in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. And man, that's when life gets real. It gets joyful. It gets abundant, and we can be thankful and appreciative just every moment instead of, you know, a lot of people dealing with so much negative and hurt and pain it's because they can't deal with the truth. Sometimes they don't know the love of Jesus. And so I just feel compelled in my business life, whatever I'm doing, to share that love with other people in a very real way.
Yeah, that's beautiful that, you know, you were brought to a place of vulnerability at a young age where you could be honest and truthful, which helped you make that connection. And making that connection with another human being as well as, Jesus is a powerful connection.
Oh, absolutely. It is powerful. He is powerful. And, you know, he's the author of our life. He created us. So why would we avoid him? To get in tune with him is what we want to do. We want to be in tune with our creator. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every eyelash we have or don't have. I mean, he knew us before we were born, and he had a plan for us before we were born. And that plan is still playing out today. So the story continues. It's not, you know, it's not just about the past or his plan for us being born and what we're going to look like and what we're going to do in life and who we're going to marry and all those things. It's still going on right now. And that's why there's hope for the future and excitement for the future, that great things still remain ahead of us. And so I'm excited about that. At my age, a lot of people decide to retire and they say, well, that's it. And look back on our past and revel in that, I guess. I don't know, but meant to me, it's like every day is a new day, and let's attack this thing and let's see what God is going to do during this day. And wow, it's going to be fantastic if we'll trust him for that. If we believe and hope and trust that God has a great plan for us.
It takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it enables you to live this day. And I've been as an entrepreneur, a lot of times the mistake I've made is that I tend to project the future and live in the future so much that I'm not enjoying the here and now, right now. Mm-hmm. And so, man, I've learned to just lay back and go, oh, man, what's going to happen this hour? And, you know, what new exciting surprise is going to happen? And so, Kathy, for instance, Friday before last, she got the shock of her life. She'd been at a company for 10 years and they came to her desk and gave her her dismissal papers. They fired her right there.
Wow.
And here's a woman that is probably the best physical therapist you've ever seen in your life, and primarily because she cares, genuinely cares about people. And so for that to happen to her was, man, she was rock and rolled on that deal, man. She was not expecting that. And so this is where faith plays in when a boulder comes into your life and just knocks you down. But it's interesting, the company she was with was not that great a company. In fact, in 10 years, she'd gotten a $1 raise. In 10 years, her Christmas bonus last December was $5.
Wow.
Five big ones. I told her not to spend it all in one place, you know. But a lot of non-believers in that company, and just a lot of angst and turmoil and just anxiety, just all kind of negativity, people not caring for one another and talking, you know, gossiping and just all kind of things like that. And after a while, after several days, she started getting more joyful, thinking, you know what, this is God kicking me out of that nest. And because if it was just me, I wouldn't do it. If it was just Kathy, she liked the continuity of the income she was making, a pretty good income. But for her to just say, well, this is not exactly right, I'm going to up and leave and go find another job, she probably would not do that. So here she is flapping her wings out of the nest, trying to land gracefully and figure out where she's going to go. But, you know, when God closes one door, he opens another. And
absolutely.
Usually it's for the better.
Absolutely. So, that's awesome. That's a great story. That's a great anecdote. Tell me about some of the challenges you faced in your life where faith has helped you. You just talked about one with Kathy for sure. How about yourself?
Yeah, I was in this office sitting right where I'm sitting right now. And we had employees all over the house. And so I had running a multimillion-dollar company right here out of the house. And that's just the way I wanted to do it. I didn't want to spend $5,000 for a facility. I thought, there's really no need in that. We got the internet. We got our phones. We can run this business.
How long ago was this?
Secretary of about 7 or 8. This was 2005, end of 2005, November probably. She walks in and she says, boy, somebody's writing some terrible things about you and your company on the internet. And my thought was, I was so busy. I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, when you do good stuff and when you know, we're obviously a Christ-centered company in a heathen marketplace, you know, but which is true. I mean, it really, really is. It's a dark world out there.
Yep.
And I said, anytime you do something good, somebody's going to come attack you. It's going to be negative. So I expect that. No big deal. So thanks for alerting me. And I sort of dismissed her. Well, she walked in about a week later and she got right in my face. She said, I don't think you heard me last week. There is somebody, I mean, a lot of posts are coming up and they're coming up on our front page of Google right now and they're terrible. And I'm getting a ton of complaints from people in the field about these posts. And so I went over and looked at it and I was blown away. I mean, I was in total shock in what I saw. But what had happened was, and I didn't, it was an anonymous person. I didn't know who it was. And, so later, about 2 years later, we finally found out who she was, the identity of the person, and we took her to court for slander and libel, and that didn't work. And the lesson I learned from that is that we chose the wrong court venue. We chose a very liberal venue that was not friendly to business people. And I'm telling you, that's a very real thing. If you're going to go to court, you better really know the venue that you're going under.
It's critical.
It is critical. So that was a big lesson. It was a very expensive lesson. But long story short, this woman who we finally found out who she was posted over 80,000 posts, all negative against us. She went to my daughter's school to humiliate my daughters in front of whoever would hear her. She called our church so often that they blocked her number technically because it was so obnoxious. And she just did everything she possibly could, set up websites against me. Never met her before. It didn't know her. Never a customer, not an ex-girlfriend, nothing, no connection whatsoever. And so that was a real challenge. It eventually bankrupted my business. In fact, December of 2009 is when I bankrupted. And man, it was a tough period because we first of all, our revenue started just downsliding just immediately. When any of those things hit the front of a Google, your front page on Google for my name or the company name, I mean, it's devastating because people have questions. A lot of people don't call you about it. They just quit. They just don't deal with you anymore. And so we watched our revenue slide from millions of dollars to nothings of dollars. And so here I was at the end of this thing, Merry Christmas, bankrupt December 2009, and no income, $350,000 in not, that didn't include the mortgage or cars or anything. I was just business debt. And I couldn't answer the phones because it was always creditors. And it was a terrible time. Poor Kathy was working 50, 60, 70 hours a week just to keep us in our, you know, in our home. So that was a tough, tough time. It was tough, but my faith kept me buoyed during that whole time. And I knew that God had something in plan, or had a plan for us and why this was happening. I didn't at the time know, but nothing worked. And so, what happened was I spent about 4 years with no income, and man, for a male with head of family, that is not a fun place to be. And it's devastating, on your ego, you know, and your psyche. So yeah, I think back to that, man, it's a hard time, but anyway,
the fears and doubts, right? Yeah. And that inner voice telling you what was the inner voice telling you?
Well, it was telling me what I was telling myself. I was rationally trying to figure out what to do for income, and nothing was working. I mean, I tried so many things, and internet marketing, insurance, just a lot of different things. And I could not rub two pennies together and to make any money at all. And funny story, one of our mutual friends, you know, a guy named Jay, had been calling me for about 6 years about an opportunity. And he called up one day and he said, "Hey, Tim, happy anniversary." And I'm going, "What is that about? Is this guy coming out of the closet or what are you talking about?" You know? And he said, "No," he said, "it's been 6 years since I've been calling you to come join me in the company I'm working right now." He said, "By the way, in the last 6 years, I've made $4.5 million. How much do I have to make before you'll take a serious look at this?" And I don't know why I had not, other than the fact that God had not wanting me to look at that particular company up until that point. I'd looked at literally well over 100 different opportunities and different companies and things that I could do, but I'd never taken him serious for whatever reason up until that point. And I'm sure it's a God thing because the timing has got to be right on anything for it to work.
Right.
And he said, "I'll fly you out to Phoenix, Arizona, if you'll come take a look." And I said, "Well, let me check my calendar." I had nothing on my calendar. I had anything on my calendar for months and if not years. And he paid for a ticket out there. And, you know, that was sort of impressive to me that somebody would buy a ticket the night before plane flight, because you know that's going to cost a ton of money. And I went out there with my arms crossed and just begrudgingly going out there. I really wasn't excited. I was sort of excited to ride in a plane. I hadn't been on a plane flight at that point for about 4 years. But other than that, I was like, "Oh boy, I'm going to meet with some clowns out here and it's just going to be a waste of time." Got out there and it was anything but a waste of time. It was exactly what I was looking for. I didn't even know what I was looking for, but you know it when you know it. And so we got started with that. Long story short, we paid that $350,000 off. We paid off our house. We paid for two incredible weddings with both my daughters. I mean, just no expenses spared, and great celebration times. And anyway, that was what God was prepping for us. And you know, you can't write this script. It's only a God thing for a script like this to be written. And the funny ways it works out, man, is I told the vice president of the company when I met with him in that meeting, and that whole meeting was a crazy story. I was like badgering the owner of the company with these hard business questions. And I look back on that. I go, what was I thinking, man? And billionaire, by the way. But I told the company vice president when I was out there, he was showing me how the compensation worked. And I said, you know, I don't know what to tell you guys. I've been trying to get something going for the last 4 years, and things have miraculously not worked. And I didn't think about what I just said until years later. And I thought about that. And I said, that's exactly perfect. That's exactly right. They miraculously didn't work out because they weren't supposed to work out the stupid things I was trying to do, because God had a better plan, and he always has a better plan. And so I've learned to trust even more out of those difficult times. And, I don't know how Kathy and I made it through husband and wife that period. It was very difficult to us. Finances is the number one reason for divorce. And boy, did we have financial issues during that time prior to this new opportunity that I was talking about. But anyway, we went on, and 4 years later, I got a call from that same woman that I met with, the wife of the founder. And she said, hey, congratulations, you guys have just hit the $1 million mark in income. And I thought, man, what a difference 4 years makes, you know. And anyway, it's been, that's one of my challenges. I've had them all the way. Entrepreneurs always have challenges. I mean, it's always a struggle, and it's, you know, it's transient. You may make it to a pinnacle of one mountain, but get ready, there could be a valley coming the later time. And so I think about Philippians, and I just was browsing through that a little bit before this call, and there's some psychology in here that is outrageous, and it's Philippians 4. And Paul says, let's see, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now, here's what it is. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him. Whew. I can do everything through him who gives me strength, except read this. Anyway, it's just, you know, circumstances are going to change in our lives, and they have in mind over and over again. I've been at the top of the music industry. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different story right there. But I mean, unbelievable musical career, and sold well over 1 million albums with no record company, which means we kept the revenues. You sell a CD for $15, you kept the $15 minus the expenses of creating that CD. So, you know, there's been ups and downs, and there's been valleys in between, but hey, we just have a great time. It's just, God has given us so much to be thankful for, regardless of circumstances. So that word content is a real important word. It's a psychological perspective, a spiritual perspective as well, because we know that we've been taken care of from before birth through infancy, through crazy teenage years. I ought to be dead. I shouldn't even be alive right now. From my teenage and early 20 years, I was crazy wild, you know, and had no sense about me whatsoever. Well, some, but not at times there was no sense. But anyway, learn how to be content. And then it didn't even occur to me that I hadn't even thought. I was so wild in my 20s, I didn't even think about getting married. That didn't even come up. And then, but one day I had gotten off the road And I told Dad, I said, I'm just so sick of this. I was on the road in West Texas playing little dumpy dives and bars and things. I hated the lifestyle. It just really unfulfilling, and just really some of the most unsavory characters in the world frequent those places. And so that was my milieu for a long time. And I told Dad, I said, man, he called one time. I said, I'm just tired of this lifestyle right here. He said, well, why don't you come be my associate minister? You know, man, I just played at a topless bar and you want me to be your associate minister? Okay, I'll do it.
And how much does it pay?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I didn't care. I wanted to get out of that lifestyle, but we went on, and I was going to swear off music at that point. And about 2 weeks into it, I met the guys, three guys, and they said, man, come over and sing with us. We heard that you're a singer. I said, well, I've quit music. I'm not singing anymore. And the next one would call me. Then the other one would call me. And finally, I ended up one of the guys' houses, and it was a quartet. And I never thought about quartet music or anything like that, but they gave me a part to sing, and the sound was outrageous. It was so good. The blend was incredible. And that group went on to win the Marlboro contest. Out of 7,000 different bands, we won that thing.
Wow.
Then we won the Wrangler, had a big contest, like 8,000 bands. We won that one. Then True Value, the hardware store, they did one. We won that one for the state of Texas. And so it was a really good group. We went on to a phenomenal career in music, and I miss it. And I'm sort of back in that mode right now. I'm writing a rock opera based on the book of Daniel, and that's a rocker, man. That is rock and roll. It's back in my 70s element here.
I love it. I love it. Now, I appreciate your talent sharing the progress with me as this has gone along. And I guess that really is a good segue, you know, about today. Like, how do you share your faith? What's the avenues you use to bring that forth to people?
Well, that's a great question. And one thing I've learned about doing that, about sharing your faith, is I'm not a blatant in your face Jesus freak or anything like that. But what I am, I think I do pretty well, is I'm a good relationship guy with virtually anybody. And I don't go into any relationship judgmental, but I choose to go in lots of different relationships with people I don't know. And I'll be friendly to somebody standing in line at a restaurant or a grocery store or where I work out, or, you know, somebody new at church or whatever, but it's so important that they know that I care about them. And when you're doing that, you're sharing the love of Christ right there in just a real person-to-person, good people-person way to let them know that they're valued. And when somebody knows they're valued, they'll listen to whatever you have to say, but it usually comes up naturally. And a lot of times I'll ask somebody, you know, if it hadn't come up yet, I'll ask them, I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? And there is never anybody that says no to that. They all, and it could be somebody hadn't been in church ever, and they'll say yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it opens up that thoroughfare right there to do that. We were at lunch at Payway today. And I was there. I knew almost everybody in the restaurant because I eat there all the time. And there was a gal I worked with. She's a bodybuilding champion. And here's a guy that's a physical therapist sitting next to me. And I've struck up conversations with him and got to know him. And then another guy from church came in and he started talking to the waitress. And he said, do you ever read the Bible? And that was his opening right there. And she said, no, but I know I need to. And he said, well, you need to go to the book of Romans. And I wouldn't say Romans. I'd probably say Matthew or James, but it doesn't matter. Whatever. Get started somewhere. He said, if you'll read the book of Romans for the next 30 days, at the end of that, if you'll read a chapter a day, I'll give you $50.
Mm.
And he looked over at me. I'm way over in like four tables over. He said, hey, Tim, 20 bucks if she reads through the book of Romans? I said, yeah, 20 bucks. So you can't make this stuff up, man.
Yep. I love it.
That was not planned.
I love it. I love it. That's amazing. Now it's so cool to see you on stage singing in worship, and sitting with you in church and, you know, getting to know you on a deeper level. And it's been, you know, just a great experience for me. And you've helped us, you know, in our, you know, transition into living here in Texas. And we really, really appreciate that. So let's ask one more question and then we'll wrap this thing up, because I know you're busy and I really, really appreciate your time. You know, this experience, your faith, you know, how you're living your life in the past and today. What are your plans for the future? Where is this path taking you, do you think?
Well, it's interesting. I'm an entrepreneur by heart, not by choice. I mean, I could never do anything else. And when times got tough in the past, I thought about having a job, but I'd never had a job. So, you know, that's as scary to me as somebody saying, I'm going to start a business. Me going back to a job would be that scary. And I tell people all the time, I'm psychologically unemployable. It's just ain't going to happen. I cannot see it. I mean, it might, but I could never do that. That little stint at the church working for my dad was very short lived. And it's a funny story in and of itself, but I plan on doing other business. I'm real involved in the stock market now and have learned that, options trading particularly, and just love it. Anything that's new that I don't understand, I am very intrigued by, and I want to understand it. I want to get in there and dig deep and find out how the experts view this and what they've got to say. And give me your tips. Give me everything you got, man. I'm listening. I'm a sponge. I want to know what that is. I'm also buying businesses at the point in the process of buying businesses and getting feelers out there, and with the idea of going into the business and cleaning house and shaping it up and then scaling it up and then reselling it. And so that can be done without a whole lot of work. It's not a 9-to-5 office job. It's a strategic thing that you put together, and I've done enough business to hopefully know how to do that fairly well and attract talent and put people, competent people, in the places that they need to be, and then in turn sell that business at a profit, you know. So I always tell people, as an entrepreneur, a lot of people don't want to talk about money. I love talking about money, and they hate the word profit for some reason. I go, profit is not a dirty word. I'm just telling you, get that out of your mind. It's a great word. It's how this whole engine of capitalism works. And capitalism's not a dirty word either. A lot of people are greedy, and that's a good thing. If I can give you what you want and I can get what I need and want, then we're both happy and we're both better off. So that's what capitalism's all about. And anyway, I could go on about that for a long time.
I love it. I love it. So where can our listeners find you? Do you have a website, social media? Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, one of my sites is darnellfinancial.com, darnellfinancial.com. It shows what some of my latest business pursuits are. And also hit me up on Facebook, Tim Darnell, and you should be able to find me, Allen, Texas, and love to connect with you on Facebook. I think I've got 300 or 400 spots left before I hit that magical 5,000. We'll figure out something from there.
Wonderful. Well, Tim, I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast with me. I really appreciate it. I know we'll get back together and talk more about some of the things that you're doing in the future, and I look forward to that update in the future. So until next time, thanks everybody. Thanks again for joining me on Aging is Optional Radio. I hope you found some value in this episode. That's really my goal. You can find the podcast on iTunes, and I'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe and give it a rating, and I love receiving comments. You can also find us on Google Play Store, on TuneIn Radio, on Stitcher, the podcast app, Pocket Casts, CastBox, and Pippa. And I'll be adding more channels in the future, including YouTube. I'm also excited to announce that you'll be able to find us on Subscribestar, where you can support the podcast. If you like what you hear, please be sure to share the podcast with your friends and on social media. You can also reach me directly at mark@agingisoptionalradio.com. If you have any questions or want to suggest any topics, or if you want to interview me or be interviewed. Until next time, thanks everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you can find us. Give us a rating. We'd love to read your feedback.
Would you like to receive the ultimate anti-aging checklist and 5-minute guide to anti-aging for free? If so, go register at agingisoptionalradio.com. Until next time, thanks everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.